These are the questions we need to answer. The Bible gives an answer to those questions. Did you know that it's in there? So you turn them over to Satan, what for? So that they will come to the senses, because we said what? The discipline is always designed to what? Restore the sinner. You remember the prodigal son in Luke 15? The prodigal son, he left the father's house and lived a sinful life. And then the Bible says he came to himself. Did the father go looking for that for his son? Would you go hunting around for your son, boy? He got to come on, drag him back down here. He didn't do that. But the Bible says he came to himself. And what did the prodigal son decide before he even got home? What did he say? I'm going to go back home. And I want to come back as what? A servant and not a son. See, his attitude, he left home arrogant. And he came back home. There's a sermon, you haven't heard it yet, but you pretend like you haven't heard it. There's a right way and a wrong way to leave home. There's a right way and a wrong way to leave home. You leave home in your mind before you leave physically. You leave the church in your mind before you leave physically. And you can see, you know why? So because the world is calling us. The world is calling us. So you turn them over to the world so that they will come to the senses. That makes sense?
Yeah.
Yes, because this flesh, this old flesh. You remember Paul said, the things that I will to do, I do not do. And the things I will not to do, that I do, oh wretched man. You ever felt like that?
Yeah.
Amen. Public and private sins. There are some sins that we do outside that we can't just go home and repent of. You make a scene at your job, that's a public scene. You can't, Lord, forgive me. You better, when we extend the invitation every Sunday, you have 52 opportunities a year to repent, to make it right. I pray about it at home. Is that right? If you did it publicly, you got to do what? Fix it publicly. Amen. Amen. Because the world's watching. Satan saw you. I'm just trying to help someone. Although this is ambiguous, we'll get to this. By observing Matthew 18, 15 through 17 as an example, it seems that open or public sin should be dealt with by who? We're going to talk about that. See, folks start squirming in the chairs. I've been a Christian, I told you. This year will be 33 years. That's the last one. And until I went to preaching school, no one had ever taught me this. Never even knew it was in the Bible. And the number of members of the church back home that needed this and still need it. But you need it too. I need it too. And so individual or private sin should be dealt with by the offender with the aid of a counselor or elder. That's what scripture's for. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable, it's useful, it's valuable. Yeah? You don't have to make it up. In other words, God has given us the recipe, the prescription to fix every situation. Our job is to dig it up, study it, and understand it. Yeah? The church is in the state it's in today, you know why? Because we don't practice this. We don't practice this, and we don't take it seriously. And so, members are running around, sheep are running around, rogue, Any questions? Matthew 18. Let's start in verse number 15. I give you chances. There's more to this, the guidelines. The verse in Titus chapter 3 and verse 10 says this. Here's what Titus 3:10 in point F says, reject a divisive man at the first and second admonition. Reject a divisive man at the first and second admonition. A more modern translation says, give a warning to those who cause arguments. If they continue to cause trouble after a second warning, then disassociate with them. There are some people, there are some members of the church that won't do right. They're argumentative, divisive. Yes? And so the Bible says you warn them twice, and after that, you have no dealing with them. We've already read in scripture, and these scriptures may sound harsh, but remember we're talking about to guard the purity and holiness of the church. If a man or a woman, a brother or sister, does not accept the scriptures, what else do you have to offer them? What else do you have to offer that person?
Nothing.
No. Yes? And so I'm a firm believer. I'm a firm believer that the Bible is right. The Bible is right. Yes? Yes.
Okay, so I'd like to know, to what extent can the church, this fellowship of brothers, I've seen instances where people get this fellowship for so many reasons. Now, I know that in as much as we're Christians, we still have a different level of understanding of the scripture. And in the Church of Christ, from where I come from, there are some churches of Christ that have different opinion on a particular issue of scripture. And then other churches of Christ have probably a different opinion of that. So it varies a little. Now, in a congregation where someone understands the scripture in a particular way and feels it is the right thing, and a teacher at some point teaches it the opposite way, and then this person tries to say, well, this is the way I understand the scripture, probably that congregation has their own stand on that very topic, but he says, I think this is the way it is, respectfully, right? Without shouting, without, insulting people and all that. Is this a serious thing? Does this warrant to this fellowship such a brother after warning him the first or the second time for having his own view on the scripture?
Okay. So in order to answer that, I won't answer that now. Let's study Matthew 18, verses 15 through 20, and hopefully that will give you your answer. Because many of us perhaps have seen church discipline practiced in the wrong way. And let us examine what the Bible says, and hopefully that will give you an answer. That's okay. So rather than me give you my opinion, let's see what the Bible says in practice. Is that okay? So we'll get, and you remind me if I can. All right. So failure to practice church discipline at all is a direct violation of God's will, according to 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 2, which says, it is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality as is not even named among the Gentiles of the world, that a man has his father's wife, and you are puffed up and have not rather mourned, that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. That's what Paul says. Yeah? And so at the same time, there is considerable latitude between Allah but in the interest of the believer. And so, as our Brother Wisdom mentioned, all of us have different levels of understanding and also spiritual maturity. Okay? And so God, again, God always sets in place a safety mechanism to regulate any abuse. So we'll see, because we'll also look at why church discipline is not practiced as well towards the end of the study. And so failure to discipline often results in the deterioration in the attitude of the church towards willful sin. This is the a little leaven leavens the whole lump, according to 1 Corinthians 5 and 6. So when discipline is not practiced, when you see things happening in the church and they're not being addressed, that can cause a deterioration in the attitude of the church toward that willful sin. And it can also result in a building up of frustration and anger within the group where they see sin going unchecked. Yes? And so there are two extremes. We can go to the extreme where we rush to judgment, and then we can go to the other extreme where we don't do anything at all. Yes? And so, First Corinthians chapter 18 and verse number 15 says, moreover, if your brother sins against you, what are you to do? Go to him. Matthew 18, verse 15. I do apologize. Matthew 18, verse 15. Someone read that for us, Matthew 18, 15.
Verse 15. It says, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother.
Thank you. So, the first point is that we don't always practice humility. There are times when deliberately or unconsciously we offend others and hurt them. Yes? And remember we say that in the Old Testament there were laws that recognized sins of ignorance. Sometimes we're sinning and don't even know it. And so, what should we do when another Christian has sinned against us or has caused us to stumble? Our Lord gives several instructions. So the first point in chapter 15 is keep the matter private. Keep the matter private. When someone trespasses against us, sins against us, what do we do? What do you do? Do you tell the person, or do you tell somebody else? Do we always do that? Do we always do that?
No.
What do we do?
Tell somebody,
and they tell somebody, girl, you will never, guess what George did today? Huh? Ain't that what we do? We go tell somebody, but we don't tell the person. Keep the matter private. Who knows about this thing in Matthew 18, 15? Who knows about it?
The person who
committed sin. If your brother sins against you, go to him and tell him his fault. Yeah? Approach the person who sinned and speak with him alone. It is possible that he does not even realize what he has done. Is that possible? That the person perhaps doesn't even know that they've sinned against you? Or do we assume some things? What do we assume? They knew. They saw me. Huh? They saw me. He did it intentionally. He knew it's like, that's my spot. Three reasons for church discipline. First of all, it's doctrinal. When someone teaches error, then it is necessary to remove it. Yeah, preachers up here preaching in error, we won't be inviting him back. Number two, moral. When someone practices immorality, it must be cast out like leaven. Huh? You go to a place like Bermuda, the Caribbean, they have carnival. Anybody know what carnival is? What's carnival? Huh? They got the bands, they got the music, they got the drums, and they got folk dressed up with nothing on, jumping around, huh? And they shut everything down. Jumping around, everybody's just, huh? Having a good time. Say, well, Joe, what you going to carnival? Man, I'm just going for the music. Now, George standing outside by the fence. You think George is gonna stand like this when the music's playing? No. First your foot's tapping, huh? Then your song comes on. Yeah. That's my jam. And what's happened? First he was outside the fence, now he's in there. Huh? Come, George! Is that you, George? Come on over here. Next thing, George is in the middle of the crowd. Then they're throwing George up in the air. Next, George has got a drink. Then George has got a cigarette. Huh? And then George can come up here on Sunday and stand up here to the Lord's table. And somebody from that corner will sit right up in the audience. And I see George. Huh? What are we supposed to do about that? That's my business, don't you be? You hit me right. Huh? We go tell everyone. I saw Daniel. It was the carnival. Did you tell Daniel?
No.
And practical. When a person does not practice the assignments that God has given him or her, then there is a practical breakdown in what? In their lifestyle. Christianity is a lifestyle. It's not just something we do on Sunday morning, Wednesday night for an hour. You're Christian, whether you're at home, in my suit, when I'm in my long johns, when I got my work clothes on, you see, you get this show, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine everywhere I go. Huh? But you know what we do? We don't practice it. Huh? So, when you got a problem, the church has got a problem. So because what you do can affect the whole church. What you don't do can affect the whole church. Yes? We've all been guilty of it. Every last one of us have been guilty of this. Matthew 18, verse number 15. Amen? And so, honesty. Stage one, we said, is what? Preventative. When we see a brother practicing doctrinal moral error, then we must practice what? Corrective discipline. What should we do when another Christian has sinned against us? Of course, this is stumble. Keep the matter private. This is minimum publicity. Approach the person who sinned and speak to him alone. You call me. Brother Smith, you got a minute?
Yeah.
What's going on? I got something to tell you. Sister so-and-so did X, Y, Z. What's my next question? Have you told them? You shut that down, but you know something? What happened? I'm going to keep it to myself. Huh? You didn't hear it from me. Because we like a little what? We like a little gossip. Don't me? Or is it just me? You go to him, you say, have you told Sister so-and-so? But we can't talk anymore. We can't take this conversation any further. Because the scripture says to go to him or her and tell them Uh-huh. You, my phone doesn't ring. Nobody calls me. Well, do we practice this? Huh? Tell him alone. We can and must personally forgive our brother. It says, if he hears you. You know what the book says? It says, tell him this fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brothers. Hmm? And so, or even if the person did it deliberately, your own attitude of submission and love will help him to repent and apologize. So it's our attitude. Above all else, go to him with the idea of winning your brother, not winning the argument. Go to him with the idea of winning your brother and not winning the argument. Because it is possible to win the argument and lose your brother. Hmm? And when the person responds, listen to understand, not to correct. Because it is possible the person didn't even know that they sinned against you. That makes sense? What does it mean to tell him his fault? Tell him his fault. Leviticus chapter 4, verse 22. Leviticus chapter 4. There's a principle here. Leviticus chapter 4. Verse 22 and 27. Can someone read that for us? Here's, remember, God always sets in place a safety mechanism. What does it say?
Leviticus chapter 4, verse 22. See, when a ruler has sinned and done something intentionally against any of the commandments of the Lord his God, in anything which should not be done and is guilty, 23, or if his sin which he has committed come to his knowledge, he shall bring us his offering, a kid of the goods, mm-hmm. a maid without blemish, and he shall lay his hand on the head of the goat and kill it at the place where they kill the burnt offering. Before the Lord, it is a sin offering. Mm-hmm. 25. The priest shall take some of the blood of the sin offering with his finger, put it on the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and pour its blood at the base of the altar of burnt offering. Mm-hmm. And he shall burn all a fat on the altar, like the fat of the sacrifice of the peace offering. So the priest shall make atonement for him concerning his sin, and it shall be forgiven him. Continue.
Verse 27.
27. If any one of the common people sins unintentionally by doing something against any of the commandments of the Lord, in anything which ought not to be done, and is guilty.
Yeah, that's good. So the point here is this: even the unintentional sin had to be atoned for, even in the Old Testament. So when we tell the swords, so we're talking about unwitting sin. Is he guilty? The answer is yes. Hebrews 5, 1 and 2, the priests had to be compassionate toward the ignorant sinner as well. It says, for every high priest given taken from among you, among men, is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1 says what? Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1 says what? Here's the principle. Galatians 6 and verse 1.
Brethren, if a man overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself lest you also be tempted.
So Sister Christine, here's a brother. He's involved in sin. And he needs to be disciplined or corrected. How should I go to that brother? Galatians 6, if a brother is overtaken, you think of a person who is swimming and caught up in the tub, and the water is overtaking that person. He says, this is a search and rescue mission. It needs specialist care and attention. He says, you who are what? So we need a spiritual person. You don't want the unspiritual folk going out there for search and rescue. You who are spiritual, what did we say that word again? There's that word, restore. Huh? There's that word again. Restore such a one in what type of spirit?
Gentleness.
You know, we want to come guns a blazing. Huh? I'm going over there. I'm going to set this right. I'm going to fix it. He did it intentionally. You who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering who? Considering yourself. Why? Lest you also, you could find yourself in that same scene. But you know what? I'm better than him. Who knows about this scene? You and the other person. Keep the matter private.
Maybe the other person didn't know.
So I'm coming over here, George, listen. Can't be told. So what's going on, brother? I have a concern. This afternoon when you were talking, you said something to me. Or I lent you some money 6 months ago, and you can pay me back, and you said you was going to give me that money back. Oh, I forgot all about that. Brother, here it is. I had it in my back pocket to give to you, and I forgot. What were we thinking before we got over there? He's got my money, he come up here grinning my face, and he ain't give it back to me. You come to every conclusion. Restore such a one in the spirit of what? Gentleness. Lest you also be tempted. It makes sense? But what if he doesn't hear you? We go to stage two. We'll pick up on that next time. Let's pray. Father, we thank you.